Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
We are in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 25. We're in our third study of this section, looking at verses 24 and 25. And we've noted already how that Jesus left as an example on how to suffer. We've looked at how Jesus suffered, the example that he left. And in verses 24 and 25, he tells us why it was that Jesus suffered as he did. And it's cool because the way that I've got it marked out anyway, there was five ways in which he suffered. Now there's five reasons why that he's going to tell us why that was necessary for Jesus to suffer. And we're going to do a little bit differently today. I didn't tell you this before we got started, but I'm just going to talk about them and then or list them and let you talk about them a little bit. Okay. And we'll do it that way. Verses 24 and 25, he himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. So why was Jesus willing to do this, to suffer like this? Number one, to bear our sins, he says.
Yeah, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Obviously, that's the first one that kind of comes to mind here whenever we think about, you know, why did Jesus suffer? Well, the whole reason, you know, that he was
our
put
sins.
On, yeah, the foremost reason he was brought to the earth in the first place, and kind of the lead up that's been happening for thousands of years with the Messiah and all the prophecies with the Christ, is that Jesus was going to come and redeem the people. Now, that looked different than what the Jews had for the time, but he came for our sins and to establish the church and whatever. But foremost, it was because we needed a Savior and we need someone to reconcile that relationship with us and the Lord.
And it was our sins. And mm-hmm. So if Jesus had said, you don't know who you're messing with, then where would we be?
Yeah.
You know. And then the second reason, he says, is so that we might die to sin.
Yeah, that we would die to sin. Of course, it's kind of talking about when we think about the dying to sin. And of course, as contrast, we see that with the third one. But when you die to sin, it's someone that you're turning away from. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's dead, it's completely dead. You know,
gone.
And it's done away with, and it's mm-hmm. buried, and whatever. And that's what you do with things that are dead. You know,
mm-hmm.
So. Put sin in that same category. If you're dying to sin, then that's something that you're putting away. It's something that you're done with. It's something that is out of your life now because you're going to be someone that lives for Christ instead.
Yeah, and there's this theme of sin. He mentioned in verse 20, verse 22, and now verse 24.
Yeah.
It's our sins. We are the ones sinning, but Jesus is taking care of that for us. And then the third thing, or third reason why Jesus is willing to do this is to do what was right.
Yeah, to live to righteousness. Like I said, there's kind of this contrast between dying to sin and living for righteousness. But you know, we've talked about this idea that, you know, you're going to live for Him, and what that means is being imitators of Christ. That means doing the will of God. It means keeping your conduct honorable. So many of those concepts that we've talked about already. But you know, living for righteousness is that idea that we're being imitators of God. And that doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly. That doesn't mean that we're going to be without sin from now on. But what it does mean is that there's a direction of our life that we're headed that we weren't headed on before.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect, because nobody is. And it doesn't mean that I'm never going to sin again, because that's unlikely in this world.
And we can look at Jesus and recognize what he went through and know we can make it through
right,
too.
But we can look at this and we can say, my life is one that is headed towards righteousness.
Yep.
And that's the pattern that I'm trying to hold.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll make mistakes, but that's where the blood of Jesus comes in to kind of to renew that relationship again.
And number four, why was Jesus willing to suffer as he did? For by his wounds you were healed.
Yeah, there's kind of a poetry there that I think is good in that Jesus suffered, obviously. That's the whole reason why he's an example here. But because of the suffering that he's been through, because of the things that he suffered, we have a relationship with the Lord. We have a relationship in Christ with him that we would have no opportunity to have without him. And so by his wounds we're healed. Our spiritual relationship, which we've already talked about, is at the foremost of what we're trying to do and have in our sights. That's what's going to take precedence. So by his wounds we've been healed, in that by the suffering he went through, that means ultimately, if you're looking at it long term, we're not going to have to suffer, because that's what's at stake here.
Yeah, and it's an allusion back to Isaiah 53 and verse 5 as well. And then why did Jesus suffer as he did? Number 5, to return us to the shepherd and overseer of our souls.
Yeah, you were straying like sheep. You were like sheep without a shepherd. You didn't have direction. It's something that kind of he's alluded to before, in that he says you were not a people, but now you're God's people. It's kind of that same idea here, in that you were straying like sheep. You didn't have a direction. You were exiles. That you know, he's used that word before too. You didn't know what direction you were headed, and in a lot of ways, whenever you don't have a direction, you end up just going wherever you feel like. And that's whenever you get sucked into the passions of the flesh and all the sinful nature that we'll find ourselves in. But now you've been returned to the shepherd. Now you have a people. Now you have belonging. Now you have a father. Now you have an inheritance. Now you have a sense of belonging in this world, and where you have a direction of where you should be headed.
Yeah.
Again, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it perfectly, but it means here's a pattern and here's how I'm going to live my life.
Change courses. And it's interesting too, because in 1:19, Jesus is called a lamb. Now he says we're sheep and he is our shepherd. We subject ourselves and how we behave, and we're put under his oversight. But the question to ask, of course, is did it all work out for Jesus? Mm. Well, it did. He's on the right hand of God. If he had sinned, he wouldn't have been the righteous sacrifice. You know, and if you've ever seen like the Passion of the Christ, you kind of understand what it was that he went through maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
We kind of have sterilized crucifixion and scourging and whatnot, but it was a really historically accurate depiction of what all of that was. Even if we go through that much, we have an example to follow. And had he not dealt with it righteously, we wouldn't be healed. We wouldn't be where we need to. So we have to put ourselves under his oversight.
I like the term whenever he says that he talks about him as the overseer of our souls. Maybe it's a small thing, but whenever I think about our relationship with specifically my soul's state and the Lord, I think about how that he's obviously redeemed me. He's put it back in a good state. But is he the overseer? Mm-hmm. Is he someone who's the protector and guardian of my soul? And I don't think I have that thought enough, you know, or think about that aspect of it enough. But that's what it means to put yourself back and trust yourself to him, is that means he's the overseer and the guardian of your soul again. And whenever we see it like that, it's a lot easier to put our trust back.
Yeah, the shepherd wasn't just the bodyguard for the sheep. He's the one they had to follow.
Yeah.
And that's the same with us as well. And that idea of oversight goes all the way back to the day of visitation. It's mm-hmm. the same word there. So that we're following his example, and we're putting ourselves under his oversight because of what he's done for us and what he allows us to have. And so a great section to teach and preach as well, with those two lists of how Jesus suffered and why he suffered. Hopefully you can dwell on that a little bit and think about that, and hope you'll be back with us as we continue our study of 1 Peter here on Scripture Spotlight. We hope that you'll like, share, subscribe, tell others about it. Spend 5 to 10 minutes with us every day on your way to work, while you're getting ready for school, or whenever you have a chance, and that you'll be back with us tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.